Keenum is under center against the five-man front.
Hits Tavon to the 15 to the 10, leaving inside five on his feet in the end zone. Touchdown, Tavon Austin.
Case Keenum throws sideline, Ralph far sideline, and a receiver open. Hits a corner of the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Keenum gives to Gurley up the middle. He's got a first down, lunging for the goal line. He's in. Touchdown, Todd Gurley.
Give to Tavon on the end of run. Has a seed. Gets to a 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tavon Austin.
Let your Case Keenum freak flag fly. If that was the final Rams game in St. Louis history, a 31-23 victory, then it was basically the best game Chris Wessling could hope for. Case Keenum, only 3 incompletions, 2 touchdowns, and his other boy, Tavon Austin, with a couple touchdowns. Rams win 31-23. The Bucks and the Rams are both 6-8. Mostly a forgettable game, Wes. What was your big takeaway?
I think the Rams building blocks, the Aaron Donald, Tavon Austin, and Todd Gurley are a good place to build. That would be the biggest takeaway. And then the other one would be Tampa Bay's playoff hopes are done.
Yeah, they're done. Both teams are at 6-8. And, of course, by the way, this is Greg Rosenthal. I'm here with Chris Wessling, and we're going to get to Dan Hansis, Mark Sessler, Lindsey Rhodes to preview all the Week 15 games very shortly. I was more taken with the images at the end of the game where the fans are chanting, "Save the Rams, save the Rams." Now, I don't think there was the emotion that there's going to be Sunday in San Diego, for instance, by all accounts. It's very up in the air whether the Rams will move. I think at this point it might be a surprise if they are moving for next year. But it was just a weird scene, not a huge crowd there, but some fans chanting, you know, "Save the Rams." Some other fans at points, you know, chanting disparaging comments about the team owner, and just the general lack of excitement, because this is a typical Rams type of game. When they look really good, it doesn't matter. Even the good wins in the Jeff Fisher era come with an asterisk because they're not going anywhere. They're going to get to 7 wins, which is, you always joke about it. And here they are at 6-8. They're probably going to get to 7 wins if they can beat the 49ers in week 17. It's the same Rams team we've seen all along.
The drive for 7-9. Yeah. This was the best game by far any quarterback has played for the Rams all year.
It's true, and he barely threw the ball after halftime, but he didn't need
because that's what the Rams do. They put it in their pocket and then try to hope the other team doesn't come back, and they just run Todd Gurley into the line 3 straight times.
And they almost did blow it. They only win by 8 after having a 21-3 lead at halftime.
The Bucs had double the first downs, and they have 509 yards to the Rams' 319. Again, a lot of that is game momentum. The Rams letting the Bucks back into the game after they had established a big lead.
Yeah, the score took Doug Martin out of the game, and he was, you know, looking great early. I don't think this game helped Jameis Winston's Rookie of the Year candidacy, even though he ends up with big numbers. Wasn't one of his stronger games. Greg Williams confused him early, was inaccurate, just wasn't one of his best games. Also pulled off some nice throws, which he tends to do every week. I don't think it hurt Aaron Donald's Defensive Player of the Year chances, though. He was very disruptive early.
Yeah, you see him throwing guys like 6-time Pro Bowl guard Logan Mankins around the line of scrimmage, and he wasn't the only offensive lineman that got thrown around by Aaron Donald.
Yeah, Aaron Donald looked great, and Austin's really been a factor all year. He has a chance to win you a sandwich, I believe, if he gets to 1,000 yards from scrimmage. So that's all the excitement that's really left with this Rams season. And the Bucks, who have been frisky, I never thought they were a playoff type of team anyways. They're probably going to get to about 7 wins, and that's big progress for them. But I think that's enough on the Rams and the Bucks. Let's start talking about some of the teams that are in the playoff mix. And to do that, let's send it over to Dan Hansis.
The Around the NFL podcast. Give zero about the new Star Wars.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Totally inaccurate, by the way, because I know I got one Star Wars fanboy in the midst right now who is going to be at a Friday morning show.
Boing.
Star Wars The Force Awakens, or whatever it's called. Mark will be there.
Geez, Dan.
What is it called?
That's well, you're it. Right, but, yeah. You know.
Oh.
Tad dismissive.
So you'll be there. The rest of us will not. I told you, we talked about it. I don't like hate Star Wars, and I'll probably go if you give it a really good review.
You kind of hate it. You sent out a tweet today making fun of it.
Well, I'm going to the theater this weekend. I'm going to see Spotlight, the docudrama around the Boston Globe uncovering the sexual abuse in the Catholic Church in Boston.
No, I'm excited to see that, too. I tried to a couple
heat-seeking
weeks ago.
Film,
why do they get to call it a docudrama if it's just a drama? I don't really understand.
I don't know. But Star Wars, Mark, tell us – you are excited. Tell us why you're so excited to go to see Star Wars.
I think I've unpacked this before, and I don't know what sort of childhoods you guys lived, but like the first movie I ever went to was Star Wars with my dad in England. I actually remember being in the theater with him and understanding most of what was going on in my own little mind. But I was at the perfect age where, for me, it all came at the right time, and I don't sit around thinking about it now all the time. One of the reasons I want to go see it tomorrow is because I just don't want to deal with the spoilers and having it all like kind of ruined if I wait 2 weeks and I'm listening to a bunch of people in the newsroom gab about it.
It has consumed culture in the sense that you could feel, because there are a lot of Star Wars fans in our newsroom, and you could actually feel the buzz in the air. Like, there are people that are counting down the hours to see this movie, a lot of them at midnight tonight.
You're right. I mean, you shouldn't feel defensive. You are you are part of the norm down in the newsroom. I often think because
Greg turning me into like just an average drone.
No, you're just a corporate robot. I often think like that's one of the things I've learned. I never worked in an office until this job on a daily basis, and I feel more in touch with the common people.
It was important that you got an office.
Greg suddenly mingling with common people.
I know what like the water cooler talking.
But you have to like you guys agree, Wes and Mark, that it was good for Greg to get into an office setting and start talking to humans that are different.
Yeah, I think
that
it
was good for Greg.
It was.
I think it's been good for you. You agree, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's a journey, and you're in the middle of that journey.
Pluses and minuses.
All right, let's. We got a lot to get to today. Of course, it's our Thursday. Week 15 preview show. At the top of the of this podcast, you heard from Greg and Wes, who broke down the Thursday night game between the Rams and Bucks. And now it is our job to break down the rest of the games that will feature 30 teams, 15 games, one played Monday.
What about Saturday?
And one played Saturday. So there you go. Thank you for that. Greg's my checks and balances.
I'm still getting over the fact that Greg said he's going to come down and hang out with the common people.
It's a joke.
I mean, that's a little bit.
It was a nod to the old common man rankings, which you know, I've been struggling with lately.
It was vitally important that Greg got into an office setting. This has been really good for you. I'm sure if I talk to your wife, I'm going to talk to your wife this weekend. I'm going to ask her if she thinks there's been a difference now that you're around all these people. Usually you've been able to pick and choose who you want to see in your life and be around, and now you're like the rest of us, that you just deal with society and humans all around.
Lived in New York. There's humans everywhere.
But you could pick like New York or any city, but New York, you could pick your experience exactly how you want to live it.
Yeah, that's true. Sounds like a fun idea.
Yeah. We shall. We'll talk about it. All right. Let's get into the games, and we'll start with that Saturday night game. And I'll tell you what, the old Zeuser's excited. Whenever you get to watch a game at home, kick back with a little Tito's and grapefruit, Greyhound as it's known, and watch the New York Jets play primetime football against the Dallas Cowboys. The Jets, huge implications for their chances of playing playoff football. They're 8-5, which you would think a team that's 8-5 is in really good position to go to the postseason. But the Jets have no margin for error the way it's shaking out right now, with the Steelers and Chiefs both playing great football and owning all the tiebreakers. The Jets would be the odd team out. A loss to the Cowboys would be devastating. So the Jets need this game. There's no way this team should be flat or taking the Cowboys lightly. They can't afford to do that. Dallas, on the other hand, Mark, does not look like a good football team, and the Jets are healthy, and they're playing well right now, three straight wins. The Jets are going to take care of business, right?
I think they are. I think that the thing about this Jets team is they've been well coached, in my opinion, under Todd Bowles. And
agree.
I look at this matchup, and I think that the feeling with the Cowboys, with or without Romo, was like they're going to come around at some point all season. And it's not just Tony Romo. They're just outside of their pass rush. I'd compare them and the Jets and ask, what does Dallas do better than New York right now? I think the Jets are not a outstandingly remarkable team, but they are a very much in the mix as an AFC wildcard team, and they deserved it. And I would be surprised if they don't get the job done on Saturday night. I think it would be very disappointing if they don't win convincingly.
Hmm. I'd look for a big game from Chris Ivory after watching the Packers run for more yards, I believe, since 2008, 230 yards.
But I think that's a function of the Cowboys' offense, and that's the problem. The Cowboys' offense, and especially their passing game, is so bad it gives them no chance to win. I thought that game was very similar to the Patriots-Cowboys game, where the Cowboys' defense, I think if you gave them a halfway decent offense, they could be a top-10 defense. Mm. But they hold up for 2.5, 3 quarters, and then eventually the dam just breaks. I mean, how many stops can you get? I think it's a pretty good defense over the last month, but it's not good enough that it's just going to win games on its own. So I agree. I think the Jets should take care of business pretty easily.
I don't like this. Too much confidence.
But, you know, but Dan, that's because you root for a team that's historically had more downs than ups.
This is the game.
It's hard to grasp.
Yeah, the thing that you get excited about as a Jets fan is that they're getting stronger as the season goes along, and Fitzpatrick in particular. I still have to check out where Greg has him in his QB index this week.
Big bump.
Is it a big bump?
Mm-hmm.
Well, your politicking definitely is a factor.
But as a Jets fan, and any Jets fan listening to this podcast knows exactly what I'm talking about, they've lost this game 100 times in the past when they've been in good position. The Jets are kings of the December flameout. So let's see if they can keep it up, win 4 in a row. And we all picked the Jets to win the game. So let's see if they take care of business. Do not let me down. Fitzmagic. Also, don't let me down because I've been pumping you up for Greg.
Big
I got
spot.
You. I got you all the way up on the QB index. Where is he?
15.
15. That's exactly where he is. That is a perfect spot, Greg. Right
Greg
there,
just
15.
Didn't want to deal with the fallout of putting him even
but
one
But it's also
spot.
The right place.
It is the right place. The
That's true, but he's played great the last 3 weeks. Part of it is he's just on a big-time hot streak.
But part of it is that I'm annoying, and that's good.
A little bit of both.
That's okay.
good mix.
Yes. As Deb Hansis, my mother, has always told me, the greasy wheel, you know, or the rusty wheel.
Well, she always told you.
I don't get to see
you're
my
asking
mom
us. So I don't.
Squeaky.
I've never met
the squeaky your wheel gets the grease.
The rusty wheel. Gets the
that lesson was passed down in pristine fashion. Yeah, obviously,
my poor son is going to get a really butchered version of that. Let's move on now. Let's talk a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs, the other team, along with the Jets and Steelers, fighting for the wild card spot. They have won 7 games in a row, guys, and now they go to Baltimore to face a beat-up Ravens team. Matt Schaub, is he the quarterback this week for the Ravens? I'd lose track of these things.
Matt Schaub is he? He's out.
Full practice on Thursday.
Oh, is he back? Okay,
so he should be playing if he's practicing in full. They do have Ryan Mallett, who they signed this week. Don't think you'll see Ryan Mallett this week, but don't be surprised if he gets some rips before the end of the season. Justin Houston of the Chiefs, by the way, hyperextended knee, went to see Dr. James Andrews. There's no tear or anything, but he still seems to be a week-to-week proposition. Wes, I'll start with you on this one. The Chiefs playing great, great football. They stub their toe against the Ravens and leave the door open?
I just can't see it. I don't. When you watch the Ravens play, it's a team that has so many holes because they're like the Chargers. They just lost so many players for the season. And who moves the ball on that offense? I just don't see it happening.
Jimmy Clausen, it sounds like, has a good chance to start. And I would think he earned himself another start.
Yeah.
I thought he played pretty well against Seattle. It was one of the more surprising things I saw when I watched the games this week was him. I think he had 178 yards in the first half of that game, including about 4 or 5 chunk plays, 20, 25 yards down the field. He wasn't afraid to throw it. He's comfortable in Trestman's offense. And Schaub isn't 100%. I don't think it matters. I think the Chiefs are going to win. Why am I talking about Clausen?
Yeah,
so
that's how bad he is. He didn't engineer a single touchdown drive, and you still think he had a good game?
If we did,
he dropped one in the end zone, and a couple things went against him. They also had 11
yards. That loss was not on him. He also did not do much to help them in terms of points.
If we had some type of award show at the end of the season, which maybe we would, who knows? But chunk plays, which is really gaining some steam as football jargon in the mainstream, is one of my favorite. I think it might be my favorite buzz term.
Okay.
You don't like it?
Well, it's been out there for a while, and it starts to grate on me at some point.
Well, there's a term every year in the NFL,
right.
Like narrative a couple years ago. Mm. 1 year it was pay dirt. Everyone kept saying pay dirt.
Pay dirt!
It's my favorite award on the show.
Pay dirt, really?
Yeah, he reaches pay dirt.
It's my favorite award on the Shecky Awards, which people should check out. He always has like the jargon of the year. Is one. So I don't know.
Who's up? Oh, I'll have to talk.
Chunk play is a big Greg Cosell term going back to his podcast days.
It's gaining pop though. It's getting big pop this year.
You know who doesn't get chunk play? Is Alex Smith.
No, that's a bit of a shot, but all right, yeah. But we all picked the Chiefs to win the game and move to 9-5. Chiefs keep rolling. That's what we think anyway. Moving forward, the Houston Texans, they are tied atop the AFC South at 6-7. Go figure. Now they travel to Indianapolis to play the other team that's 6-7 in the AFC South, the Indianapolis Colts. Speaking of quarterback trouble, we have Matt Hasselbeck, who has a rib injury. He practiced in a limited fashion on Thursday, so we might see him. You think he'll probably play if he's back on the field working. So this is a game between bad quarterbacks or old quarterbacks, and there's no way to really pick a favorite, Greg. I mean, who knows between these two teams?
You're right. The Texans have done more recently that would get you somewhat excited about them. But then again, they're coming off two games where their defense didn't really show up. So there's nothing to like about this game. Wes and I were here on a Thursday night. It was one of the more sneaky, entertaining games of the year. But largely, that was because of Ryan Mallett's sideline facial expressions.
Oh, that was
and that's
great.
Not really going to happen this week. That's my analysis.
It would be crazy if it did, if he just showed up.
Hasselbeck said he's still having trouble breathing, which is a pretty important function for a quarterback. So
when you're 40.
Or really any human.
Right.
Moncrief is injured right now for the Colts. That second half, that was eye-opening against the Jaguars. Just it started to feel like the roof is just caving in. Wes has been calling this a bad, bad team all year, and I think they've at least fought for Pagano. They've had a lot of comebacks, and now I don't even know if they're fighting. I like the Texans a little more.
Wes is right. They are a bad team, and I am openly rooting for both of these teams to implode and have the Jacksonville Jaguars win this division because
they'd be more fun to
watch.
They
are more
fun.
You
need a tie, though, in this game. The problem is one of them wins it, and they get to 7 wins. That means the Jaguars probably have to win out to get in.
Don't assume anything.
They would, but we can get to the Jaguars. We can get to Jaguars because their schedule's doable to win out if they play the way they have. And I think that, the Texans, what we saw with their defense was very promising a couple weeks ago, but they're not a consistent team. You're not going to get that all year long. And you know what? You go in and you lay an egg so badly to New England. Your entire coaching staff and your quarterback all come from the New England system, and you don't show up in a big spot. Get out of here.
Well, Yates, I think they've done a good coaching job. They got banged in Houston this week for using too much wild
hard banging.
But they've had to be like that all year. Sometimes it's going to work, sometimes it doesn't. And it's TJ Yates. Man, I don't know.
Let's cut through the BS, too. If the Colts win this game, they're going to win the division. They would be 7-7. They would have the head-to-head tiebreaker on the Texans by root of the season sweep. And the Jaguars, barring a collapse by the Colts, they're going to win that division with 8, maybe
Colts are fully capable of collapsing.
Yes, they are.
There's only 2 more weeks left in the season.
Right.
7 wins and all the tie breaks is most likely going to get it done. The Jaguars have not won more than 2 games in a row all season. Why do we think they're going to get 4?
We all agree the Jaguars are more exciting than these two teams, but that is also a deeply flawed team over there in
Jackson. Well, they're growing, but yes.
Absolutely. They have problems as well. So we'll see what happens. I think if the Colts win, it's over, and let's see what we have here. Mark thinks it happens. He thinks the Colts win. A lot of hero picks this week for you, Mark.
A coin flip.
God bless you. The rest of us took the Texans, but I think it is a coin flip. That's a good hero pick. Let's move on. The Atlanta Falcons, maybe the worst team in football right now, is the Atlanta Falcons, who started out 5-0 and are now basically out of contention before Christmas. Good job, guys. They now travel to Jacksonville to face the Jaguars, and as we just said, the Jaguars, if they want want to have any chance of even being in the conversation to steal that division, you have to win this game at home. I do not trust them even a little bit, Mark Sessler, but at the same time, I don't trust the Falcons at all.
Yeah, I do trust the Jaguars more than some, and they have a schedule after this Falcons game. They had the Saints and the Texans. Winning out is not an insane endeavor, but you're right. We haven't seen them be that team. But at some point, this young offense, I think two years from now, we could look at this and say they're one of the best offenses in football. They've got a lot of parts, and they're all young and growing up together at the same time. So teams like that, when you have one side of the ball that is on the verge of becoming dominant, you'll see them go on a late season win streak. Yeah. And I think that they're the most entertaining team in this division. Now, are they going to do it? Probably not. But they can take care of the Falcons. Look what they did last week. You're seeing, all year long, you've seen little hints of explosion from this offense.
One thing I'll say about last week, too, is that that was a weird game. They were getting booed out of their building at halftime because they couldn't move the ball a yard, and then the floodgates opened up in the second half. So you kind of saw both sides of the Jaguars in that game, and 51-16 made it look like they painted a masterpiece, but it wasn't that.
The defense is still a bad defense, yes. But we talked quite a few times during the early part of the season whether Gus Bradley and David Caldwell were in trouble, and I think their offense has been so promising that the jobs have been saved. Mm-hmm. Look at how they've drafted. Bortles, Yeldon, Allen Robinson. They pick up Allen Hurns. I mean, and they've even drafted a couple of guards who are playing well. So I think that David Caldwell's done a good job with the offense.
Jaguars should love us because we love them. We look for any reason to get excited about them at all. They have lost two of their last three games, and those two losses were to possibly the two worst teams in the AFC, the Titans and the Chargers.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree. I'm with it, though, because Bortles is, I think, my number one favorite young quarterback. Just I like him. I like to watch him play, but I don't know.
They also scored 31 and 42 points in those losses. I'm just saying.
That's how bad their defense.
They're a one-sided team on one side of the ball, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Let's see how it plays out. They got three games left to get it right, and we all took the Jaguars to win that game. Moving on. That if you're a professional
that was good.
In the business, there's certain affectations that the audience wants. That would be an example.
No, it's, I mean, for the three of us, it's just sitting in on a masterclass.
So be it. I don't want to say that, but if you say that, thank you. I'm blessed.
You're more than welcome.
The Chicago Bears are 5-8, and they stink, and we all know that, but they hang around in games. They head to Minnesota to face the Vikings, and the Vikings, you know, no longer cruising along as the happy-go-lucky team. There's a little, what's the word?
Angst. You got to win this
angst.
Game.
You got to win a ball game here. You got to win it in your building, and you got the best running back in the planet. You stick it in his gut 29 times and win the game, right, Wes?
Oh yeah. I mean that's your recipe if you're the Vikings. How are they on Linval Joseph and Anthony Barr, Harrison Smith this week?
I think they are expected to get them back. I'm gonna double check for you, but I'm looking to see if Teddy Bridgewater builds on what was one of his best games of the year. They had a great performance on Thursday Night Football.
They put up a fight.
We haven't talked about it as a team, but they played the Cardinals toe-to-toe. They looked like two totally even teams. And Teddy Bridgewater, I thought, had probably just about his best game of the season. So it'd be nice to see him build on that because he's had a little bit of a disappointing season.
And from a defensive angle, that came with Joseph, Harrison Smith, and Anthony Barr all not on the field against one of the best offenses in football. So it's, you know, their coach, Mike Zimmer, said, I don't want this to be a yo-yo team. It's not a yo-yo. Your schedule at this point of the year is revealing what they are, which is a good but not great team that's not fully there yet.
Looks like Barr will not play. Smith will play, and Joseph is up in the air, but it sounds like he'll probably play. So there you go, 2 out of 3.
Good info, Greg. Wes, are you pleased with what the boss pulled out there?
Yes, because I filled out my Pro Bowl ballot last week for the first time, and those were the three defensive players on my ballot for the Vikings.
I liked what you did there. I saw you tweeted that out. And if people aren't familiar with the criteria involved with the Pro Bowl, some people will think you're like some type of accredited writer that is part of the group that makes Pro Bowl picks. It made you seem very important. I liked it.
It did?
That's the way I read it. I was like, for a split second, I thought, whoa, does Wes have a voice in the Pro Bowl selection? But it's
fans
actually
do.
Yeah, me and 33 million other people have a voice.
They do a good job of it in the sense that it's fans, coaches, and players all take part in the voting. Your boy, Tom Brady, by the way, the leading vote getter, just ahead of Cam Newton.
He's a good player, that Brady. Having a nice season.
Anybody going to Hawaii to cover the game for around the NFL?
Yeah, Connor Orr. He'll be there.
Connor
Orr in Hawaii.
Flyer miles.
Yeah, you're right. He's piling them up.
By the way, why vote for Tom Brady? He has not shown up for a Pro Bowl since 2000 and I think it was four or something. Yeah, 2004. So it's 11 years straight.
That's what Tommy Boy, your precious prince of New England, Tommy Boy, that's what he thinks about you, fans.
Well, a lot
why he's not exotic enough for him.
Sometimes he's in the Super Bowl, so that's keeping
many times, busy. Unfortunately. We all took the Vikings to improve to 9-5, which would, you know, basically wrap it up for them going to the playoffs. They need that. Just get the win. Don't let any doubts creep into your mind. And you should be able to handle that. Come on. You know, the subreddit board, I'm sure. We haven't checked in on that in a while, but you got to imagine they're freaking out right now.
I heard from a Vikings fan after I picked them to win multiple times and they kept getting losing on me and killing me in the picks, who said, listen, we are what we are. I'm sorry. And I agree. They're not. You are what you are. You're the last wild card team. Go have fun with it.
All right. Here we go. We move on. The Tennessee Titans visit the Throne of Ease in Foxborough. I don't know. I'm not going to – listen, I'll tell you what. You watched the New York Jets and Tennessee Titans play last week. Tennessee barely showed up for that game. Guys making business decisions on the field. This game is 27-0 at halftime before the Jets took their foot off the accelerator. I think the Patriots – and they might even get Julian Edelman back in this game. They got Gronk, who looked healthy last week. This smells like 50 burger.
Really? 50 burger.
From the
healthy.
Patriots
offense,
right now?
Offense getting healthy. A terrible Tennessee team that's quit on an interim coach. 50 boyga.
Well, they're not healthy in the backfield. That's one thing I'd say. What, two run? Greg, you pointed out this morning on Slack.
Quit slacking. Sign up for Slack today.
You know, Blunt's out and they've
at
got.
At Slack HQ on Twitter. What else do we have to do?
I mean, please, that sponsor.
But literally, we're getting material. No money from them.
But a lot of people are tweeting at Slack saying, hey, give the guys money at Around the NFL. And here's the most twisted thing about it is that if we did get a sponsor, it would be the NFL getting the money. We're the heroes in this. Where's the payout?
And you're showing, you know, before they even sink their dough into us, that you can do a spot, you know, pricelessly in a beautiful way that promotes the product and makes
customers sick about it all.
Excited.
The business dynamics of this world make me sick sometimes.
I hear you.
Anyway, this game.
Yeah. I thought you were starting to talk about losing LeGarrette Blount for the season. This is the first time we've taped a podcast since that happened. That's a major loss for them. Not that LeGarrette Blount is one of the top 10 running backs in the league, but I think there's a significant drop-off to Brandon Bolden and James White. Those are literally the only two running backs active on the roster.
White doesn't even run the ball. I mean, he's basically a pass.
You're not a James White fan.
He's a poor man's Deion Lewis. And you figure they're going to activate either Monty Ball, who they've signed to their practice squad, or I forget the name of their
undrafted
rookie.
Well, it's a fullback. They have a fullback.
Trey Williams.
I mean, they got Leonard Hankerson. I'm kind of excited about that. Julian Edelman is
going to
get healthy. Greg
had a Throne of Ease moment in the hallway today talking about the Falcons just basically giving the Patriots Leonard Hankerson.
Well, I thought it was nice. Scott Pioli and Thomas Dimitroff, they're struggling there in Atlanta. Things aren't going well. They do the old Patriots a solid. Hankerson requests his release off injured reserve. Here, have this solid wide receiver who was your number two wide receiver. We'll let him go. You can have him. Watch Leonard Hankerson catch a crucial touchdown pass in the playoffs. I guarantee.
Kind of surprising because the Falcons' offense hasn't been right since Hankerson got injured. He's one of the reasons that their offense has sunk because he's not playing.
I like him. I mean, I like adding a little.
I would not be surprised.
I like how they're also
an impact guy.
They need some depth is all I mean on offense. They just need offensive players that are halfway competent. And Tom Brady.
You know what else worked out for you, Greg? That every other team ahead of the Patriots on the waiver wire also cooperated to let Hankerson fall right down to New England. Have a nice end of your season, Leonard Hankerson.
That's fair.
Super Bowl MVP, Leonard Hankerson.
He fought. I was thinking, because I saw Jared Allen you know, in some highlight recently for the Panthers, like, oh, I forgot about you, buddy. You're in a good spot all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Now, you and Lenny could talk about it at the Super Bowl this year.
I mean, you never know. It might be one of those things, too. Like, if there's changes in Atlanta after the season, you could come in and even be part of this Super Bowl run.
Stop acting like the Patriots aren't just going to plug in somebody who's going to rush for 100 yards.
Exactly.
They have the 27th ranked rushing attack in the league in terms of yards.
That's why LeGarrette Blount isn't that big of a loss.
I hear that.
He has not been moving too well before that hip injury either. LeGarrette Blount has not been scary this year.
Well, fair. You get him into January. That's when he becomes the guy. That's what they won't have.
He's okay, and I don't know how Brandon Bolden's going to hold up with 20. I guess they just won't.
Steven Jackson.
They won't run the ball much.
Really tough spot for Greg here, Dan.
Yeah, I hope you're okay this weekend, Greg. Moving on, we all took the Patriots to outlast the Titans. The Buffalo Bills are heading to Landover, which is in Maryland, which is where the Washington Redskins
FedEx
play
Field.
Football. Yes, correct, Wes. Yes. Anybody that's been asking about Win West's toaster, that will come back sometime in the offseason in a revised format. That's all that will be said right now.
Too many tomato cans.
Too many tomato cans. Mm. The Buffalo Bills are playing the Redskins. The Bills are basically done for after that loss to the Eagles last week. But, you know, if you want to give yourself any shot, you got to win the last three games on your schedule. The Redskins, meanwhile, are tied for first place in the NFC East. Three teams at 6-7. Chris Wessling, here's one thing to be nervous about, that Tyrod Taylor is the greatest of all time. This according to Bills running back Carlos Williams.
Greatest what of all time? Tiddlywinks
player? I assume quarterback. He called him the GOAT this week in an interview with a local reporter.
That doesn't really make sense to me. I don't know what he's going for there.
Well, all right. Now, I don't want to leave Carlos Williams hanging. His brother played at Florida State while Tyrod Taylor was at Virginia Tech, and he saw him do special things in college, and now is obviously a fan of his work as a starter this season.
Well, he's been a godsend to the Bills, who we spent the offseason basically trashing their quarterback situation. He's been I would guess he's in the top 15 on Greg's quarterback index. He's a above-average quarterback this season.
That's the funky thing about this Bills season is that Rex finally got a quarterback, and then he wasn't able to coach up the defense.
But he had two big-time throws last week at the end of that game against the Eagles. Third and long with about 2.5 minutes left, where he had a wide-open Sammy Watkins, sailed it. Then gets the ball back with a chance to get the field goal that keeps him in playoff contention, airmails a deep ball right to the Eagles. He's had a good season. I still don't know if you can just pencil him in next year as, like, that's your guy long term.
Well, I wrote a post on Around the NFL yesterday about
humble brag.
What is not a humble brag at this
point? I know, it's getting loose, the standards. But by reaching 50% of the team's snaps, it voids the third year of the contract he signed. So next year is a contract year for him, and the Bills will have to make a decision sooner rather than later. I guess the move would probably be to wait it out and not get Fitzpatrick again if you're Buffalo. But at the same time, it's like he has a 100 passer rating. He's basically been their best quarterback since Rob Johnson in 1998. I don't think you want to play too many games. If you like him, sign him.
Yeah, what's the rush, though? Wait till halfway through next season. You want to give him a big contract. Yeah.
Well, if you believe in him, you could probably get him at a good value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's this week, if you look at the games that we're talking about, there are not a lot of good games at all. This is one of the more interesting ones in my book. And, this is the Bills. The Bills, to me, every time I get excited about, they let me down. And I find they're a very agitating group of people. But, they run the ball well, and the Redskins have not.
We've had our quote for Twitter now. Yeah. The Bills are a very agitating group of people.
Yeah, that was.
Let the record show that we forked them correctly.
That's true.
You know, the fork thing isn't looking as bad as it looked a few weeks ago. We're still in trouble with a couple teams, but it's not going to be a train wreck. We're still writing a check, most likely.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are the ones, and it's hard to really.
But even they're not safe. I mean.
No. It's hard to see that coming, too. I mean,
if the Colts win the division and somehow the Chiefs lose out in that game of musical chairs, we're cruising, baby. We ain't cutting no check for charity. Yahoo!
Wait, it's Christmas time. You should want to cut a check for charity.
I know. That was why I was joking.
Please. Oh.
Anyway, interesting. Dan and Connor took the Bills. The rest of the crew took the Redskins. Mm. Moving on. By the way, you said in my book, Mark. I would love to read your book.
What was in my book? I don't even remember.
This game was in your book.
In my book.
One of the best.
Oh, yeah. No, listen.
What's in that book?
I don't know. I'd have to go read it.
You can have this game. You can be assigned this game.
Can I?
Sure.
Well, wait. Okay.
I don't think there's going to be a huge demand.
I'm not clamoring for it.
The Green Bay Packers are heading to Oakland, the black hole, as it's known, to face the Raiders. The Raiders, another team that's basically out of it now at 6-7. The way the AFC and the NFC, really, the wild card picture, it's not a lot of teams fighting for those spots. And the Raiders are one of those teams that basically needs a miracle. They got to win out, so they got to beat the Packers in their building. And I'll tell you what, don't have the guts to pick the Raiders. Mm. Not going to do it. Thought about it. Didn't. But I really would not be shocked if some of these Packers problems pop up again on the road with a bit of a schizophrenic Raiders team that has had its moments this season. I could see it being one of those good Derek Carr games. Amari Cooper breaks out of his slump. You know, Latavius Murray runs for 100 yards, and all of a sudden the Raiders are cooking. Could see it.
I'd be interested to see how Mike McCarthy plays this game. He said he needed to shut up more when they asked him about taking over as a play caller. A few days later, he became the play caller and then changed the entire offense, rolled out two back sets 48 times, and their average was 11 times per game before that. And along with that came Aaron Rodgers, by far his best play-action performance of the year. He had 140.5 passer rating on play-action in that game. So everything was built around the running game, which is something that hasn't really been the case since McCarthy's been in Green Bay.
And the Raiders have not given up 100 yards since week 11 on the ground. I mean, their run defense has been surprisingly stout. Gave up 34 to the Broncos, and that was without C.J. Anderson. But, I picked the Raiders in this game.
You did.
Don't want to spoil that your little moment there, Dan, with the picks part of this. But, listen, I think that
– Wait, how would that spoil it?
Well, I don't know because that's
your special time.
Yeah, it is a special time for you to, do your little thing. And I apologize.
I don't know what we're talking about, but go on.
I don't either. No, I
– Well, by the way, you picked the team that has Khalil Mack.
I did, but what you just said and why you almost picked them is why I think that they've got another signature win left them in what has been a good season in Oakland, and it's not a fluke what's happening there. There are a lot of young, good players on both sides of the ball, and the Green Bay Packers, I think what happened at the end of that Dallas game is not how Green Bay can operate consistently every quarter. I don't think they're there yet on offense.
Well, it's easy to stay committed to the running game when you know you can stop the opposing offense, when you can just keep giving Matt Castle drive after drive, you can be patient. We have been so eager to just believe that the Packers are back after these couple wins. Okay, they get a win, everything's fine. We thought that after the Vikings game. So I just want to see them put it together for a couple weeks. There's no reason to think that they're out of the Super Bowl mix, but you just would like to see it. So let's see it this week. Start stacking up some wins where the defense is playing well, where this new running game is rolling, and this is a tough matchup. I agree with you guys. I think the Raiders have a chance.
I think, cosplay, Mark, is a big thing if you go to a Raiders game.
What?
And
what's cosplay?
Well, cosplay is it's costume play. It's something, Mark, I know you're dressing up for Star Wars.
No, I am absolutely not. And the only reason this word is being discussed is because I had a friend that texted it to me, and I had to go look up what it meant.
Well, I just want to, since on the subject of cosplay.
It's a lot like a subreddit.
Sydney, I just want to let you know, darling, that Disneyland and Disney World have instituted a new policy that affects you directly. now there are walk-through metal detectors. I don't think that hurts you at all. But there is now a ban on costumes for anyone 14 and older, and that includes during Halloween season. Your thoughts?
I was not aware.
Did I just drop a bomb on you?
Well, no, but I mean there's like a Halloween party that they've been allowing people to go
not
in
anymore.
Costumes.
Would you dress up if you were to go to the theme park yourself?
Well, she goes all the time.
I know, during Halloween.
Okay.
Already.
What do you dress up as?
Well, I dressed up as Anna from Frozen.
Look at you.
Don't even know who that is.
Don't know what it is.
Well,
you don't have daughters.
Now. I know. I do know.
Yeah,
I know
Greg knows. Greg
I didn't know the difference
quality
between,
time with
between
Frozen
them.
Characters.
I didn't know the difference.
Anya's the blonde.
No, Anna's not the blonde.
No. Oh, the
nice
sisters,
Elsa,
right?
I have a hot take about them, but we'll talk about it off
their
air.
They're sisters,
I don't
and one
turn
is evil,
off
is that
98%
right?
of our listenership. Okay.
Were you going to say something like misogynistic or something?
No, it was more like it was more that all the kids like one of those two characters, but it's unfair. It makes no sense.
Well, but Greg, you're also someone that, we question if the childhood occurred in your life. And
we're easing Greg into the general population with this new job he's had for the last few years. So it's all happening.
Although I can't debate. I have no hot takes on Frozen as you do. So I'll go with I think you're right probably.
Wait, but you're saying because they're
I really don't want to get into it too much.
I will say that the metal detectors, that's actually a really comforting thing, because I was there the last time I was there, I was thinking, like, why aren't there metal detectors with how many people walk through? I would feel a lot
These
safer.
Are different times, is what Sydney
Good job
is
by like. Sydney to get the Around the NFL podcast crew off the Frozen topic.
Yes.
Just bring it around.
So I'm sorry to break the bad news to you about your upcoming Halloween party.
Well, I experienced it. It's fine.
Okay, cool.
Upcoming Halloween, when it's like 12 months away or something?
You know, might be planning. Anyway, the rest of us took the Packers besides the Sizzler. All right, it's that time of the show where we bring in, one of the how do we look at this? Yeah, this, we talked about the brotherhood, which would incorporate the four heroes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say one of the faces of NFL Network. That would have been that.
Well,
been
I'm getting
way
to it.
We've done that.
Okay. Yeah, we've done that before.
Though.
But this is one of the close friends of the Around the NFL podcast. You know her as the face of NFL Network. Her name is Lindsay Rhodes.
Click that for your Emmy reel.
What?
There you go.
I want to know where you were going initially, though, before you were interrupted, because you sort of started saying, like, hey, they're the regulars or the hero. I don't exactly remember your words, but you're – and then
well,
Lindsay.
No, I don't
like
know.
Like, the way you were setting it up and then the way you finished the introduction,
you felt it might not have been
a little like an outsider.
Not complimentary on that level.
Well, kind of like, hey, guys, there's us.
Almost
and then there's also Lindsay.
Yeah.
Well, there's tears, is what I guess. But I wanted to do it.
Down to it. That's what I was alluding to.
See,
that's
no,
exactly
but not in that sense. Because you don't understand that the hierarchy, you are high up.
Oh.
But you're just.
I'm on a different tier.
I mean, you haven't been on 400 podcasts with us. You're racing up the power rankings. Ooh. I don't know. I'm digging myself.
Some are more equal than others.
I thought your awkward text telling Lindsay to get up here. Was going to be your low point, but I was wrong.
Yes, I was running a few minutes late, and I got a, are you in danger? Do you need help?
I like that.
I think it's a good way to go about it. I didn't want to be a monster. Lindsay, welcome back to the show. In spite of all this, I am, as you know, a huge fan of your work on NFL Network. And personally, I find you to be delightful.
I can't even
so
look at you.
So that's why you're here. And
thanks.
So we are going to talk about some football.
Would you like an autograph in black ink?
Yes, only black. Yeah, before we started rolling here, I did acknowledge that I hate blue pens, blue ink, to the point they can't even be around me. It's a weird
thing. Well, and I'm urging you to seek help on that because, as mentioned, I think it darts back to a time early in your life.
I don't know, perhaps.
And I do think that a hypnotist would be really good podcast material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows what a hypnotist would find if you went into a subconscious version of Dan.
Is society still buying into hypnotists,
by the way? It's not like a hypnotist with like a cape and like it's not a – I'm not saying it's hypnotism either.
What if they go in?
You need help is what I'm saying.
What if they go in there and they don't find that much? Just like a lot of hair thoughts.
There is nothing there.
Hair.
The one thing, and
he's just like cheeseburgers.
Yeah, wait, you calling me fat?
Was
that a fat? The Irish Catholic in me will never seek professional help. All you just bury it, and then you move on. So the pen stuff is way deep in my inner psyche. There's no getting out.
Okay, well, you're beyond help. Let's forge on.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's talk about some football games. I would love, Lindsay, for you to join us in this part of the show where we talk about four different games as we continue to work through Sunday's slate and Monday night, of course. Let's start with a game in Pittsburgh. This is a big one. This is a big one with big playoff implications for both teams. The Denver Broncos at Heinz Field to face the Steelers. It's a game between a 10-3 Bronco team that is coming off a tough loss in their building with Brock Osweiler, his first loss as a starter. And here are the Steelers coming on strong, 8-5. Might even be having cute little thoughts about, ooh, can we steal the AFC North with the Bengals in trouble with A.J. McCarron now playing quarterback. Lindsay, I'll start with you. Is there anybody playing at a higher level in the AFC right now than the Steelers?
I really like the Steelers right now. I think this is kind of the team that we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. And then we sort of forgot about in the middle of the year because they were dealing with so many injuries. But this offense is just so good.
It's even more impressive, though, because Le'Veon Bell is not involved. This guy, and we've thrown parades for this guy.
The best
how
running back in the league, I think.
And he's not in the picture, and yet they're still dominant.
Yeah, how is D'Angelo Williams doing what he's doing at this stage in his career, I think is one of the bigger question marks of the season. But I don't know. I'm really looking forward to seeing the Steelers offense against the Broncos defense. The Broncos D, T.J. Ward with a great line this week saying they're just hot because they haven't faced us yet.
Saucy.
That's fair.
That'll be on a bulletin board in Pittsburgh's locker room, I'm sure. But it is fair. They're number one in everything.
Is there an actual bulletin board like in locker rooms anymore?
Sometimes.
Or is I it mean, if you're playing Mike Pettine, I'd have a bulletin board in your locker room.
Mike Pettine's got to pipe down.
One of the things I like about the Steelers is that last week they showed you they don't have to go one speed. It doesn't all have to be bombs down the field. I think the Bengals did a very good job taking away the deep ball. And what you saw was a lot of Ben Roethlisberger going through his progressions, going to the open receiver. They killed the Bengals in time of possession. It was a different type of Steelers game because I think that the defense they were facing was doing a good job. So they just took what they gave them. It showed a little bit more of a mature Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think that kind of player existed 3 or 4 years ago where he can really dissect the defense, know exactly where to go like a Tom Brady. And I think that's what he showed last week.
He's been my favorite quarterback to watch this year. I don't think anybody's thrown the ball better than him.
I agree. I think he'd be my MVP pick if he had played every game, or at least my he's the best quarterback in the league pick.
Not to take anything away from him, but you also wonder if with the offensive weapons that he has, that puts him in a position to do that a lot more, right? Yeah. Whereas in the past, if you have one or two guys that you might know, that's who I need to get the ball to. Right now, it's like if you want to take away Antonio Brown, that's fine. We've got Marcus Wheaton. We've got Martavis Bryant. I can find Heath Miller. This is a pick your poison offense if there is one in the NFL.
Yeah, and you're right about saying over the last month or so that they are a different team and they really have heated up. I mean, they're averaging like basically more than two touchdowns more per game than they were over the first half of the season. And I think it's such a different feeling than when we were writing all these articles about Ben Roethlisberger and Todd Haley aren't on the same page. That whole thing that went on and on. Now they talk about them like finishing each other's sentences the same way that Arians and Big Ben were. And they're playing that way. I mean, I would not want to deal with this team now and definitely not in the playoffs.
Although a lot of people are just assuming they win this game, and it is the best defense in the league, the most consistent defense from week one on to now, and they have everyone healthy for the most part. So I think C.J. Anderson also for the offense is going to play well. You do wonder if Brock Osweiler has a bad game. He hasn't really had terrible games, if he has a bad game and they score 14 or 17 points again, the Peyton Manning chatter increases next week.
I hold here in my hands, it's funny you bring that up, Greg, the 2015 season week 15 research notes.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Since Brock Osweiler.
Time out.
Yes.
That was Starship, not Jefferson Airplane, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Like post-Jefferson Airplane.
Yes.
Was it Starship Airplane or something?
No, just Starship.
It was just Starship.
Because they got sued, but we'll get to them in a second. Since Brock Osweiler.
I had a skit to that when I was in third grade.
Yeah. Since Brock Osweiler took over the starting job in week 11, the Broncos have the most three and outs in the NFL. Denver has 18 three and outs in that span, followed by Houston, Philly, and New England. New England, interesting. And San Francisco. The Broncos have not reached the end zone in their last 23 offensive drives. Tied for the longest active drought with the Colts. So, and by the way, Peyton Manning returned to practice this week. He was with the scout team, which I can't imagine he ever thought that would happen in this December or any December. But Brock not tearing it up.
Jameis Winston has 21 three and outs all year. And Brock Osweiler's got 18 in 4 weeks.
So, like, just last week's game, though, I don't know that you can put much of that on Brock.
Not all of it.
Because the run game was awful. One, yeah. There were so many drops. He was getting hit on every single drop back.
Not all of it.
No, but his numbers don't look good, but I don't know how much.
Yeah, when they're not running the ball well, they're not going to be able to keep up with a team like the Steelers or a lot of teams.
Let's see, can you just bring up that song again? Because I just want to say, first of all, they were – once this was Jefferson Airplane, and then some of the band left, and then they sued them because they were Jefferson Starship, so they had to drop Jefferson and just be Starship. And then this
–
this was a number one hit in 1985. And the reason that this song is in my head right now is because I just watched the timeline on A Tale of Two Cities between San Francisco and Dallas. And Jeremy Renner, who narrates from the San Francisco point of view, claims Starship as something to be proud of. That is the worst song
No,
of the 1980s.
Whoa, it's usually voted the worst song
absolutely
of all time.
Absolutely not.
You disagree,
Lindsay. No, it triggers an involuntary dancing response from Lindsay. You couldn't help yourself.
Yeah.
Lindsay,
I think the first time I haven't made it rain quite often, but yeah.
Wait a second.
I was going to say, like, third grade Lindsay had, like, you know, a stack of Monopoly money, and it was used in a skit that went to that song.
I've looked
back
into
really
this,
good memories.
And it turns out you cannot build a city on rock and roll.
well, the difference, though,
I'm wondering if Denver or Pittsburgh was.
That's
since
fair.
Since it was used.
Wait, you made it rain in a third grade skit? What kind of school?
Yeah, I don't think it was literally like the, you know.
Lindsay's been doing the Aaron Hernandez touchdown celebration. I know we're not supposed to say that name ever again. But
why? What happened?
That part is now edited out.
Yeah. Well,
all right, we rejoin you.
No, I mean,
around the NFL podcast.
They're bad, but yeah, because they're from San Francisco. So Renner's like, yeah, well, the Niners are flying high, and we were owning the rock charts, too. It's like, whoa, slow down. Let's not break.
Why don't you just claim the Grateful Dead instead?
Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis got a lot of pub, too.
How do you not think that that's so bad it's good, though?
Well, it is.
Like, that was so
bad.
You were
that.
In third grade. I was in fifth grade. These guys were in diapers when this song came out. So it's like, no, because it
hasn't
easier.
Aged well. It
that's the thing. I think if it wasn't, it was part of my I remember I was dating some crazy girl back then.
In fifth grade?
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Cecilia peaked as a ladies' man in, like, 1990.
Well, you might want to inform
together?
My wife that. But yeah.
That's when you were going with someone.
Well, it's like you send a note across the class. It gets intercepted by a teacher and read to everyone, and the relationship's over.
All right.
Yeah, I was fifth grade, too. That was my favorite song for probably a summer.
What year was that?
It was
85.
I just looked it up. It was number one in November 1985.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. I'm surprised, Lindsay, I got to say. Like, do you recognize that the song is bad now, or is it so steeped in the
like
nostalgia
of your
youth? Like,
if it came out now, it would not be popular, but no, it's too steeped in nostalgia.
All right, cool. I feel like we're in a weird place today.
Are we?
But
yeah, you started it.
Text.
With your,
Dan set the table improperly.
We also, at the holiday party, listen, it's all coming out now. At the holiday party on Wednesday, which was a great time, on Tuesday, Lindsay made a reference to Mark and I being smug as well.
Oh, I do recall that now. What was the reasoning for that? That seemed wrong of you.
Your point was proven right there with that answer, though, Lindsay.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I'm inviting you to
the whole
debate,
reaction
you know.
To this proves you right.
I don't remember how we got into it, but I do believe that you were smug.
Okay.
I don't recall. You know, I'd like to have a better recollection of
the smug judgment. You know, against the wall, judging
Ooh.
The room.
Mm. Well, that
does sound Cecily.
Right?
No, that does no, Dan. Yeah. That's not helping.
Okay.
Compiling smug text messages or tweets.
I don't know what I don't know. Listen,
in your
head
as the party was going on.
That sounds very one-sided to me.
Lindsay suddenly sounding like Bill Belichick talking about.
All right.
On the face tweet.
Let's move on. Face Speaking check. Of Bill Belichick, his former team, the Cleveland Browns, travel
that's
mean, CenturyLink Field to face the Seahawks. Does it make you feel better? Pete Carroll, the Jets' former coach, will be there. So this is a game that looks like a mismatch on paper. Obviously, the Seahawks, if the Steelers are the best team in the AFC right now, the Seahawks might be, and all due respect to the Panthers, might
Come on,
be playing
man.
Better than anybody in the NFC. So here we go. Looks like a blowout. But, Mark, you see this game being closer, don't you?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's – I picked Seattle, so I don't think it's going to be –
Don't back down.
NFL Now you didn't.
On NFL Now?
Yeah, you made a headline from the future that Johnny Manziel was going to win the game.
They're going to spread the
I'm
field.
A totally different person on NFL Now. I mean, I think
by the
that's
way,
obvious.
Greg just snitched on you so hard, Mark.
Well, we can – there's another part to that, and we'll get to that. And it doesn't involve me. But, you know, I think Manziel – he's Cleveland's most exciting player. And I think that he doesn't have a lot of game tape. He's not necessarily someone that they know fully how to prepare for. He's not a perfect quarterback either, and he has no weapons. Now, last week he got 200 yards on the ground rushing, and that is what no quarterback in Cleveland's had all season. So I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball, and that is probably what puts Manziel in a real tough spot out of the gate. And then you're looking at Cleveland's defense that couldn't stop a middle school team from rushing for 200
yards.
Wait,
so you're saying it's going to be a blowout for the Seahawks?
No, I think they're going to – Cleveland has in some games they've scored more points than people expect. And I just think that they're going to somehow – their attitude seems to be, we don't give a crap anymore. We're just going to do all we can to be a spoiler. That may translate to nothing. I'm just saying that something about Manziel's different than if you threw Josh McCown or Austin Davis in there.
Look, I don't think that this is going to translate to a Cleveland win, but I really want to see this Seahawks team without Thomas Rawls or Marshawn Lynch. Mm. I mean, this is a team that relies really heavily on its run game, and you might be starting Bryce Brown this
They've
weekend.
Got the Altees backfield now with Bryce Brown and Kristen Michael.
Yes, they do.
Michael brought back once again.
You saw it last week for three quarters against a team that is similar in talent to Cleveland. The Baltimore Ravens, and they didn't have any problem because right now they have the most accurate quarterback in the league. I mean, Russell Wilson's winning games without running the ball. His throws last week into tight windows, not easy throws, just money, play after play. I think the Seahawks are the best team in the league just about right now. Their defense does give up more passing yards than you'd expect. Even Jimmy Clausen went up and down the field in the first half. But I would expect them to rout the Browns. Why not?
Most people do.
How can you say they're the best team in the league, though, when we don't even know who their running back is this week?
That's fair. I mean, maybe saying they're the best team in the league.
They've been playing
as well as anyone, and their running game's not going to be as good.
So much disrespect for the Carolina Panthers this podcast.
That's fair.
And the Cardinals.
Let's be honest, though. Like, if Marshawn Lynch comes back and is close to Marshawn Lynch in Week 17, I like their chances against anybody in the league. We all picked the Seahawks to win. We also, I don't think I mentioned it because we got sidetracked by Starship, we all picked the Steelers as well. Moving on, the Carolina Panthers, the team that is a former team of ATL, but now a team that is disrespected, says some. I think there's a healthy amount of respect for the Panthers, but
just not in this room.
I don't know. I mean, they're 13-0. I think they're a great team, but it doesn't mean they can't be beaten is what my opinion. I think there are other teams that are almost as good as them or just as good. But they're facing the Giants this week at the Meadowlands, a Giants team that is fighting for its playoff life at 6-7, coming off a win on Monday night in Miami. The Panthers, of course, three wins away from being the second team in NFL history to go 16-0. Chris Wessling, how you see this?
Well, I'd like to say that Eli has a history of beating undefeated teams late in the season, and if you have Odell Beckham, you can do anything, but I don't believe that. I think the Panthers are going to win handily. They do every week.
Mark?
Well, I picked the Giants. And
what?
As did I, buddy boy.
What's going on?
Well, because for me, it's not a disrespect towards the Panthers. I'm rolling the dice, number one, but I kind of think that Odell Beckham is the one player that they haven't dealt with this season. You know, that could completely change the way this is. Now, but Greg, you're asking me to logically explain why the Giants are a better team. I'm not. I just went for the upset. The Giants stink in many aspects of what they do. They flat out stink. And if they didn't have Odell Beckham, they might have three or four wins tops right now.
He's going against one of the best secondaries in the league, and Josh Norman has played five or six of the best wide receivers in the league. NFL Research had a stat, I don't have the names right in front of me, and he's held them to a total of 99 yards between five big-name receivers.
Well, it's like Dez, Julio Jones.
Well, that's fine. Odell Beckham can have
Odell Beckham yet. I think he's different. I think he's in his own league, and I think DeAndre Hopkins had a tweet that he posted briefly on Thursday. I think it tweeted at ODB, and it was something along the lines of, good luck going up against the best cover three corner in the league. So Josh Norman.
Smug.
That's smug. is someone else has thrown out some heat about Josh Norman maybe not being as good as he's being built up to be right now.
Same knock on Richard Sherman, who's been an all-pro in each of the last 2 or 3 years.
That's fair. That's how I look at it. And mine is not even so much – I know the Giants in their building with Eli – and Coughlin, I know that they can rise to the occasion at times and surprise you. And I also think, and Wes, I know you say it a lot, history is instructive, that nobody goes undefeated because it's so hard to do. And I just sincerely believe they will get picked off one of these weeks. And why not it be on the road against a team that when everything's clicking, they almost beat the Patriots when the Patriots are undefeated. They have the best wide receiver in the league. It could happen.
To your point, Dan, when you see these teams go 13-14-0, a lot of times the loss, when it occurs, is not the team you would have thought. It is not the best team they played. They get up for that game, and they do it. Now, the Panthers have gotten up every week, but it usually is an unusual loss.
That reminds me of the this is way back, but 1998, the Denver Broncos were 13-0, went to the Meadowlands and lost to the New York Giants.
Well, the year before they lost to the Bengals then.
Yeah, but the Giants knocked them off.
The Chiefs did.
So are
when they started out 13-0, I think.
Are you saying that you're more or less picking the Panthers to just run into a wall?
I think
then you are picking the Giants to beat them.
Yeah, like it's absurd to pick the Giants from an angle of I'm breaking down the game logically. Mm-hmm. You know, we make these picks. I'm like 10 behind the guy in first place.
Come on.
I'm just rolling the dice.
Do you know who that guy in first place is?
The man to my right.
Ooh,
just tied, Petra.
Okay, it's tied. The problem is the Giants and Odell Beckham. Well, you said you're the guy in first place, and then you tell me it's tied. So
I like that. Yeah, okay, it's tied.
That's a lesson in smugness. What you just said.
I want to just say it again. The Broncos started 13-0 in 1998, week 15 defeated by the Giants at the Meadowlands.
This is hocus pocus talk. That has nothing to do with this game. Odell Beckham is great, but he's one player. The problem is the Giants' defense has to take the field, and the Panthers' offense is one of the best offenses in the league, one of the hottest offenses in the league, and there's no reason to think they're going to be held under 35 points. In this
game. I'll give you a reason. If there is a reason, Jonathan Stewart's out.
Big reason.
So
huge,
they
dog.
have a huge gap at running back right now. Fozzie Whitaker, Mike Tolbert, and who's the third one?
Cameron Artis Payne.
Yeah, none of them have done anything this year.
I love Jonathan Stewart, but to me that running game is the system, and it's Cam Newton, and it's a very difficult one to defend. And I would expect kind of like the old Broncos teams or whoever, that whoever's in there is going to be able to run the ball for the Panthers.
The rest of the
team, they're going to win,
including Connor, Wessling, and Patra, all took the Panthers. Moving on.
Which, by the way, it's the first time Connor's taken the Panthers all year. Is that right?
It's the third time, but third at
that's
three out of 14, which is
that means
amazing.
They're going down.
Not so coincidentally, he's in last place in the standings.
Yeah, that's true. Right. The Cincinnati Bengals are back in action this time without Andy Dalton, who has a fractured thumb. AJ McCarron will start. They get the San Francisco 49ers. This is a game in San Francisco, so the Bengals need to go on the road here and steady the ship. I mean, when you look at the AFC North, Greg, you got Cincinnati at 10-3, Pittsburgh two games behind them. You know, the way Pittsburgh's playing, you wouldn't be shocked if they won out. So Cincinnati's got to win a couple of these games potentially. Got to start right here, right?
That's true, but if you use the playoff predictor on NFL.com, you find that Bengals are going to win almost any tiebreak. So really, they probably just with the Steelers.
Just win a game.
They just have to win a game unless something crazy happens. If they win a conference game, one of their last two conference games, it's absolutely clinched and there's no problem. But even all they have to do is win this game. And I think this is a great top-to-bottom team, and I think AJ McCarron showed more last week than we expected. Four or five really nice throws down the field, also made some mistakes, but he just needs to be okay. He just needs to be Brock Osweiler level of play, and the rest of that team can win it for him.
Would be nice if he had Tyler Eifert, but Eifert is still not practicing as of Thursday with that concussion. Mark, I'll throw it back to you again because you got a hero pick here. The San Francisco 49ers are going to knock off Cincinnati. Mm.
I did not pick the 49ers.
I'm looking at it on our website.
Well, I'm going to correct that. That's absurd. There's no way I think they're beating Cincinnati.
No, he did that on NFL Now, so it doesn't count.
Oh, no. Come on, Mark.
I do not. Well,
why are we
surprised anymore?
You can throw it to me, but here's what I will tell you, that if you're AJ McCarron, this is the perfect way you want to start what is this run towards the playoffs and replacement of Andy Dalton right now, because this is a 49ers team that just got outclassed and whacked by the Browns.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
And there's really no – I know that we were saying, oh, the 49ers are better at home. Well, they're not that much better at home. They're not good enough at home to be a good team on any level. And you just want to look at the talent on both sides of the ball. There is no reason to think that the 49ers are going to take care of business
here.
They
can be frisky, though.
They really can be frisky, but they're not going to win the game.
Even Arizona learned that. They barely beat them. I mean, this is a team, San Francisco, obviously flawed. But with Cincinnati in a tough spot right now, this could be a game, right, Lindsay?
I mean,
you don't sound convinced.
Well, no, I mean, on paper, it's like you said with the Giants and the Panthers. It's like there's no real reason to think that the Niners would be able to beat the Bengals. But weird things happen in the NFL, and so because of the AJ McCarron factor, you kind of go, maybe this might be a little bit closer. This might be one of those upset games that at the end of the weekend, you go, how did that happen?
They just gave up 9 sacks to the Browns. And this Bengals defensive line is one of the best in the league. If we just did the front four in terms of Dunlap, Atkins, Pecco and Michael Johnson. I mean, that's got to be a top three or four. I mean, they should just take care of business.
Well, I will say this,
no reason
too.
Why they shouldn't.
They gave up about 230 yards rushing to the Browns, and the Browns hadn't had a running back run for more than 50 yards in a game since like week three or four. So that's the other strength. If you're A.J. McCarron, you can give the ball to your diverse backfield and have them just gallop around all day.
49ers might be playing with a chip on their shoulder after.
By the way, I would love to see them gallop. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. After Mike Pettine basically questioned their effort last week, I think the 49ers might have something to play for.
Mike Pettine's just popping off like a guy who knows he's in the last couple.
Mike's got to calm down.
He does need to calm down.
Jeep Christ said, you know, he didn't like the idea that Pettine was shining his star, I think was the expression, at the expense of the Niners because they finally won a game after getting outclassed for week upon week, weeks upon weeks. So, you know, Mike, come back to us, buddy. In the words of Mike Francesa, come back to us.
That's fair, dog.
Lindsey Rhodes.
That's fair, dog.
You've done it again. What else can be said? You are the host of NFL Network's flagship program.
And you're a big fan.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan
of
you.
That was my favorite part.
I fan of your
established
work.
That.
And let's not underplay that. I mean, that means Lindsey has reached the summit of NFL Network programming. So you should be proud of yourself in this holiday season. 7 p.m. Eastern.
Now beat it, donkey.
Lindsey Rhodes, thank you very much. You're the best. And we will see you, I guess, on the other side of the new year, soon, hopefully, because you are a close friend of the show.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Thank you to Lindsey Rhodes for stopping by. But we have more show to do, guys. Let's move on. The Miami Dolphins head to San Diego to face the Chargers in what, yes, sadly, could be the final game at Qualcomm Field.
Stadium. The Q.
In San Diego. A great town, San Diego. Not a great stadium out there. That's a dump. But hopefully the Chargers stick around in San Diego. But if they don't, this is it. And I might have to on Sunday, you know, honor that occasion or show some respect with a rendition of a certain song. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. As for now, this is a game between a 3-10 team and a 5-8 team. Neither going to the playoffs. Not much to get excited about. The one good news, if you're a Chargers fan, is this game will not be flooded with Dolphins fans because Dolphins fans are probably checked out on the season as the San Diegans.
They struggle a little bit to fill up their home stadium or defend it. There was a lot of Giants fans there in Miami on Monday night. This will be a really interesting game. We're going to send one of our desk staffers and occasional Around the NFL writer, Andrea Hageman. We call her Andy. But that's, you know, that's her byline.
Love Andy.
She'll be down there. And I find it interesting just to see like what happens at this game in terms of the fans and just what the scene is like, because I know there's not a ton of Chargers fans compared to some fan bases, but it's got to be an emotional thing. This is a franchise that's had a lot of, you know, fun times, a lot of success in the 70s, certainly with Schottenheimer, also in the 2000s. And this could be it. It's just going to be a strange, interesting scene to watch.
Andy on the pod to talk about it.
I think we're planning to, according to her availability. Now, Greg, do you see a duplicate scene of when Cleveland left and fans were crying and ripping the dog pound bleachers out and throwing them on the field? Or is it going to be a little more mundane than that in your book?
I don't think it would be like that anyways, but it's not a fair comparison because we don't know that the Chargers are leaving or not. If they had announced if they had announced at the beginning of the season that the Chargers – or midway through the season that the Chargers are going to Los Angeles, I think the scene would be a lot different than it is, which is just confusing at this point.
I feel for the – I mean, I know we all live close enough where you know a couple people down there, and I know some hardcore Chargers fans, and I just think the fan base has been yanked around for a long time as it is, and it's a bad way to put an exclamation point on it.
They've been in San Diego for 55 years, which is longer than the Browns were in Cleveland when they moved to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and this is a team with a championship history in the AFL.
Sick Gilman.
I don't know. It's a bummer. But it's also, I don't quite buy it's their last game. That's the thing. We've been talking about L.A. and the NFL, and I know the momentum's different, but I don't buy it's the last game at this point.
Well, there's a huge vote coming up in January, and that's going to dictate probably the next
game. I think there's a chance it's the last game, but it might be 50-50.
Doesn't it start to feel like some of the buzz around this the moving to L.A. stuff starting to feel like it's not going to happen next year?
I think there's a lot of people that feel that it's going to be it needs another year of discussion because these owners aren't knee-jerk operators.
I think it's almost become a paralysis by analysis situation where they know how important this is. Well, we'll see. By the way, I just changed my pick in real time because I kind of forgot about the Chargers and could be their last game. I think that will be something the team will get behind a little bit and the fans will be a little more amped up potentially. I like the Chargers, as do Mark and Connor. Wes and Patrible took the Fins.
I think Phillip Rivers and some of those players will be emotional. He said he expects it to be emotional. So I think a guy like Rivers, Gates and Floyd, who have been teammates for longer than any trio of teammates in NFL history. I mean, they're going to be going out there and trying to win this as much.
I'd be emotional if I had 8 children and had to move them. That sounds like a long off-season process and sort of a headache.
Moving on, the Arizona Cardinals, the team of around the NFL. Team of ATL. Thank you. They are traveling to Philadelphia to face the Eagles. Listen, whenever you can get two first-place teams battling it out, you got a classic on your hands. You know, tell me I'm wrong. What? Am I wrong?
There's nothing about this Eagles team that screams classic to me.
Well, first place is correct.
Are you? That's all. Do the Eagles still interest you in terms of the Chip Kelly experience and maybe believing that they can still be that team that he thinks they are? Are we completely done with this Eagles team?
For me, the fun thing, getting behind the idea of Chip Kelly being exposed to someone that's not going to revolutionize the game, that's too easy now. So I've lost my joy of rooting against the Eagles.
Yeah.
So now I just look at them objectively as a team that's not very good and one that's probably going to get waxed by a superior team.
I would say that Connor Orr has proven to be more, you know, out there with his schemes and team-building processes than Chip Kelly.
Well, you're talking about the Portland River Hogs?
Yeah, I mean, Connor is a revolutionary in thought. He makes Chip Kelly look like, well, Doug Marrone, frankly.
I really hope some of our listeners tweeted at Niall Davis to congratulate him, because that would be even more confusing than all our Twitter users that tweet at Gary Barnage about his British roots. I think this would be even more confusing, because Niall Davis would actually think something had happened, and he was maybe playing in some type of arena league.
I think this Eagles team is more interesting still than the rest of the NFC East. Sam Bradford has not played particularly well, and I think, Wes, you're right when you say people are just looking for reasons to get behind him. But if nothing else, the DeMarco Murray and the running back situation is interesting to watch. Fletcher Cox is playing really well. I do feel like they're capable of having a better game, a better best game as a team than the Giants or the Redskins. I don't think they'll be that competitive or win this game against the Cardinals, but I think if they could somehow get into the playoffs, they'd be a little frisky maybe.
Really?
I mean, not
– I just think
there's a better chance that they would have a frisky game.
I can't think of anything interesting about this team. I mean, you think the DeMarco Murray situation is interesting, but he's just not a very good football player this year.
Right.
I mean, that's not interesting to me.
Connor Orr no longer picks against – the Panthers, but now he has picked against the Cardinals. You know, quite a around the NFL sin to pick the Eagles to beat the Cardinals.
Again, a revolutionary. Maybe, you know, a one who needs to be thinking more clearly about things. But
well, he's busy. I mean, he's moving the entire franchise, breaking hearts,
right,
bankrupting the city of Portland. Keep Portland weird. Now he's going to keep Portland bankrupt.
Hmm.
Bad job by Connor.
Powerful man.
Yeah. He's very powerful. Yes, except for Connor. We all picked the Cardinals. Finally, Monday Night Football is a matchup between the Detroit Lions and the New Orleans Saints. did ESPN lose a bet?
I mean, this is – who? There's only one man that can make this game interesting, Dan.
Oh, yeah, my man, Mikey Tirico. Mike's going to give you everything he got. That's all I know. And Gruden's going to be grinding, and he'll do a nice job.
Well, he's a Michigan guy, Tirico, and I think you could tell it. Patrick really pointed this out, but you could hear it in his voice in that Monday night game where the Lions lost in Seattle. A little extra
it's interesting.
Juice.
That's true.
Got to get Tirico in here. He won't, though, because ESPN doesn't allow such things.
Not a lot of cross-pollination between NFL Network and ESPN.
And he's probably afraid of you at this point.
Probably.
Totally fair.
Local corporate giants afraid to cross-pollinate. Anybody have anything to say about this game? Because I don't know. I watch every primetime game, but this one will be one where I might be like on the laptop doing a couple.
Well, you want to talk about last. It might be the last time you ever see the pairing of Drew Brees and Sean Payton on primetime.
Hmm. That's not enough.
Let's talk about that.
They have been on primetime. Do you think they're a package deal?
Well, yeah, you'd think it might be a little Willie Beam and Al Pacino at the end of any given Sunday where they go to another team together. That's interesting, but I don't know.
So you think the Saints have to do a complete rebuild and ditch Drew Brees if they get rid of Sean
Payton? No, I don't think that. I think that Sean Payton is out the door.
I don't think they have to, but he's going to be 37 years old. He still has plenty of value because he's playing well. He's due $20 million next year, and it's the last year of his contract. So
trade high.
I still kind of doubt it because he's Drew Brees, but if there was ever a time to trade him, you can still probably get a first-round pick or whatever it's going to be for Drew Brees, plus Sean Payton.
When was the last time a franchise quarterback was traded in his prime? Donovan McNabb was past his prime.
Manning.
Well, he wasn't.
Well, no, he was released.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Teams just don't trade franchise quarterbacks.
You're right, not to mention one who brought the team, you know, their first Super Bowl championship.
The right move, though. If they can get the right haul back, I think it is.
It's not the right move if you lose Sean Payton and there's 10 vacancies come January. You need to attract the next coach. Oh, by the way, come on down to New Orleans where you don't have Drew Brees anymore. You've got, what, Garrett Grayson, whoever, Luke McCown?
But that's it. You got to believe in your front office's ability to sell the franchise. I mean, I don't know. It's –
Your GM teams, works for the Pelicans, so there's another selling point.
Bad teams turn around in 1 year all the time in the NFL.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know, you know, it's a little random for a team that's going nowhere, but the Tim Hightower story I think is one of the better ones. The guy that's out of football for 4 years running his ass off last week. I mean, he was running hard. I don't think he's not the most talented guy in the league anymore, but to be out 4 years and you got a guy who's making seven times as much on the bench and Hightower is closing out the Bucks in what was a big game for Tampa. I mean, they just handed the ball to Tim Hightower over and over and he wins that game for him. It was a cool story. He was definitely enjoying it.
Tim Hightower owns the Arizona Cardinals rookie record for most touchdowns.
Hmm.
Dan, Tim Hightower, that enough for you to tune in on Monday night?
Yep, now he got me. Hightower. I liked Greg's, like, seg into hot butt talk.
He's been sold.
I was wondering why your ears perked up.
With Tim Hightower. That's it. We all picked the Saints to win the game. Those are all the games coming up on Sunday and Monday and Saturday. A lot of NFL action. We will be back on Sunday night with our flagship show, the Sunday night show where we break down all the results of these games. So make sure you check that out. It's also on YouTube and NFL Now. So thank you, everyone, for listening as we get closer to the end of the regular season. We're getting there. So here we go. That's it. This is Dan Hansis. Thank you to Lindsay Rhodes. Signing off for The Mailman. The Sizzler. The Boss. And La Seed behind the glass. Till Sunday!